I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. It's Hey, It's Okay. I'm your host, Joe Elvin. And believe me, everything really is going to be okay. We're here for your commute as ever. We've got Jim Chapman on the show today, and we're going to be talking about everything from sort of social media annoying people to ghosts. And I, for one, am excited. Stay tuned. Hello, hello. It's Hey, It's Okay. Today on the podcast, we have Glamour's, well, I'm still going to call you Glamour's social media editor. It's Kat Brown.
Hello.
Hello. And we have sort of like, we were just discussing what to even call you, Jim Chapman. It's like Kat Brown came up with Swiss Army Knife, which I think really kind of sums it up. Sort of okay. Like YouTuber, writer, vlogger. I know you hate influencer, but you are totally an influencer with all your millions of followers.
You're probably really good at DIY as well, aren't you, Jim?
Awful at DIY, actually.
Oh, thank God.
Terrible, yeah.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but sort of like really incredibly stylish, fashionable men don't tend to be handy with a hammer.
Do you know what? I've realised that my walls are really thick. I've been trying to put a few shelves up, and my brother used to be a carpenter, so I call him and go, hey, dude, I'm trying to drill into my wall. And I knocked on it and went, sounds like plasterboard. Underneath, pure concrete. It took me ages to put up these. They're straight, so they're on, and they're sturdy, but it took me like 45 minutes, and it should have been like a 12-minute job.
Nothing heavy particularly on them, is there?
There's hats on there.
So. Oh, fine. You're all right.
Too heavy.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I remember coming home one day. Oh, no, I just heard this sort of like screaming from the kitchen. And it was man screaming. I'd begged him to get a plumber, my husband. The next thing I saw him standing on the kitchen top with boiling water shooting out of the boiler.
Oh, God.
And him sort of like trying to stop the water, but it was like boiling hot, and me just screaming at him for being incompetent, saying, now are you in a fucking plumber? And that was the scene, and he hasn't done DIY since.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm not too proud to admit that I'm rubbish at it. So if something needs to happen, I will call a plumber or a handyman or something.
It's just smart economics, isn't it? When you're going to end up paying for it anyway, right?
Yeah, it's false economy to try and do it myself, because it'll take me 4 weeks to get around to it. And then when I finally do, I'll do it wrong. And then the wife will go, you are an idiot. We should just call someone in.
Yeah.
There's also this assumption that you just have to be really good at DIY. And it's like, no, I literally work on the internet for a living. What on earth would make you think that I would be good with a nail?
And also, you can Google it as much as you like. But when it comes to when you've got a drill in your hand, it's suddenly a different ballgame.
I just have no pride in that sort of work. And I respect people who do, because I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I painted a friend's wall once, and every time I go around, I just notice this awful smear, like a 5-year-old's tried to paint nails for the first time. So I'm just like, that just acts as a reminder that save up and pay somebody else to do it.
But what about, I mean, I've said this before on the podcast, my husband, I've asked him before he dies to go around and show me how to like do the heating and like use the, not DVD, but like the skybox and stuff like that. And he refuses because he knows he's still of use to me.
He'll be obsolete. Yeah. Do you know, that's the thing though. Like earlier this year, my stepdad did pass away, and my mum called
sorry.
Me. Yeah, it was really awful. I'm sorry to really lower the tones of it. But it was my mum, bless her, was like, I don't know how to do anything. Yeah. So I had to go around and give her the basics of like the, doing the boiler, doing the, she's got like solar panels and I had to teach her to turn them on. And, you know, she had to call all the bank people, all the phone people.
Well, God forbid I'm ever in that position, but can I call you?
You can call me.
Thank you.
You can call me. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know a lot of stuff.
I do know a lot of stuff, yeah.
We've seen that in your new book.
Yeah.
147 things.
And that's it though.
Which is the title of the book.
Yeah, that's my capacity.
Tell me one thing that I need to know that you know.
Well, do you know what? It's really hard to pick one thing. There's so much. One of my favourites is the first thing, which is actually probably the most number heavy, but it really fascinates me. The chances of you specifically existing are so astronomically rare that it blows my mind. So there's less chance of you existing than there are atoms in existence. Like, it boggles my mind. So think about it this way. So let's say your parents, right? The chance of your parents meeting, and I forget the numbers exactly because they're in the book, but it's like, say, 1 in 20,000, right?
They met at the Aussie equivalent of the BT.
What's the BT?
You know, British Telecom. They met at the,
oh,
the Aussie version of that.
Okay, what's that called? The
I don't know. It was called PMG back then.
They met a PMG, right? Yeah. So the chances of them meeting were like 1 in 20,000 or something. The chance of them tolerating each other long enough to actually have sex.
Well, that's the thing I still can't get my head around.
Yeah, totally. Well, this is it. But then they're quite small numbers. And then you get to the part where you have to... So a man will ejaculate. I forget the numbers again,
but
it's millions.
Oh, don't talk about my dad ejaculating. Well,
this is the thing.
Jim Chapman.
It's in the book. But the numbers suddenly skyrocket, but then you have to times that by your grandparents
right
and then their parents and their parents as far back as you can go, and ends up being so crazy that I had to start the book there because it was just, I remember reading this thinking, oh my God, the chances of me, because if it was a different sperm, I wouldn't be me, you know?
Jim, just so we're absolutely clear, nobody in my family before me has ever had sex.
Yes.
Good.
Which is it? My mum has done it three times. Once for my big sister, once for my middle sister, and then once for my twin and I. And that's it.
Splendid.
After that, it all sealed shut.
Absolutely.
My dirty buggers have done it four times. It's awful, isn't it? I've only done it once, though.
I've got one child. To do it.
Yeah.
Yet to do it.
You know.
I'm excited for that time, though.
It depends. If Game of Thrones isn't on, then fine. But otherwise, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I have an electric blanket now, so I'm obviously never having sex again. Not that obviously I ever have before.
Just go and make love to that electric blanket.
Oh my God, Joe,
nobody would judge you.
I wore two dressing gowns to bed last night and my electric blanket.
I can't do electric blankets.
No, I don't like them. I'm a bit scared of them.
Yeah, and also I like whenever I get into bed, I have to have my feet out of the duvet.
Well, look at the size of you. That's just not optional, is it?
No, the feet hang out of any bed.
I think it might.
But yeah, I have to. My wife she sleeps in pajamas and a dressing gown, and she's like a little ball of.
This is female versus male body temperature, though.
My
cat basically uses my husband as a sort of like portable battery pack, sort of giant hot water bottle. But you can get electric blankets. Great news for Tanya, which is that they only work on one side of the bed.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm sort of like having a certain phase in life where. Without fail, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I have to fling the covers off in an absolute overheated fury.
Yes.
So that's fun. So no electric blanket for me. Why are we talking about this?
We came
here to talk about your book, Jim.
Yes, I know.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's out now. We should just kind of get the basics covered before your publicist shoots an eyeball out of her head, sort of sitting back quietly in the background there. But yes, it's out now. Congratulations.
How long
did it take you to write?
About a year.
Wow.
Year all in. So, I mean, I started, I remember starting, it was August last year. But I finished it like 2 months before it came out, because then you got all the printing and the editing and all that stuff. I'm so proud of it. And the way I look at it, it's like a user's guide to life. So everything, whether it be the big things, like the chances of you existing, or I've written about my stepfather passing away, or like domestic abuse or anxiety, or the little things, like what came first, the chicken or the egg, the fact that kangaroos have the weirdest reproductive system in the world, that stuff, it all kind of gives me a bit of perspective.
Yeah.
You know, you get home from work, you can be having a tough day, or you can be at school and you've got exams and whatever, and life can feel like it gets on top of you. But I think taking a step back and realizing that actually, as a species, we've been doing this for 200,000 years. We're doing all right. We're not dead yet, you know? So I think it kind of gives you a chance to sort of go, do you know what? All this stuff that's stressing me out doesn't actually mean that much. The stuff that's really important is, you know, the connection we have with the people around us.
Kat, maybe you and I should get T-shirts that say, we're not dead yet. I'm still living. Yeah. Still Yes. I mean, the elephant in the room is that, you know, as by the time this podcast comes out, people will know that the whole structure of glamour is changing. So, yes, it does. I think I might read your book for a bit of perspective on that. I can't really say much. And that, you know, we're kind of like in this state of flux at the moment and we don't really know what's happening yet. But we're still here. We're still kicking. And we're very happy that you're here. Are you going to play Hey, It's Okay with us?
Absolutely.
Hooray.
Right, Jim Chapman, you're a friend of glamour. You're sort of like part of the extended family.
Yeah.
So you know this is really sort of based, this whole podcast thing, on the sort of stuff we talk about in features meetings.
Sure.
I have a feeling that you're going to have a lot to say.
Okay.
Particularly on this first. Is it okay to like someone IRL, as the kids say, in real life, but kind of secretly hate their social media persona?
Yeah.
Hard yes, right?
Hard yes. I mean, the hardest yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have
We're
a lot
all
of friends.
Lose all our friends right now, aren't we? But yeah.
I won't name any names, but I have a lot of friends who do the same thing as me as a living. I mean, in various different ways, but you know that they live on the internet. And some of them in real life, my best friends, love them to pieces, and I've got nothing but time for them. Some of them on Twitter or Instagram or on video, I just have a little cringe and just think, why? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you guys know me better than I guess people who just watch my videos and haven't met me in real life. But I like to think I'm pretty similar.
Yeah.
Both on camera and in person. I might be me plus 10.
I would totally second that.
Yeah, it might be me plus a little bit more on camera, because obviously I think that actually camera loses a bit of energy, so you have to amp it up a tiny bit. But I think I'm basically very much me. I'm still a bit like risque sometimes with my jokes and a bit naughty, but also a bit sarcastic, but still very much honest. So I think as time goes on, I realise some people who make content on the internet aren't like that. You know, some of my friends are very hilarious in real life, but then kind of not dumb themselves down, but make it very middle of the road to make sure that, you know, everyone's happy. And I get that from like a business perspective, but it's almost like every time you are then being social on the internet, you have to put on a different hat, and I struggle with that myself.
So you think some of them are being a bit more, even as individuals, a bit more corporate, a bit more, here's my brand, and I'm going to be my brand, even if it means my soul recedes a little bit.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, I kind of got to a stage maybe like 3 years ago where, so I started doing this when I was 22, and I'm now 29, and the stuff I talk about is very different to the stuff I started talking about, because I've grown up, and my attitudes have changed, things I'm into have changed. And I got to a point where I'd filmed a video, and it's one of my biggest videos out there, actually. And I was doing all sorts of crazy stuff. I was waxing my legs, and I think I waxed my armpits and covered myself in butter and got in an ice bath in the same video. I think I was also talking to squirrels or something random. But I uploaded that video thinking, I know that's going to get a lot of views, but also my dignity took a bit of a knock. And suddenly realised I probably was 25, 26, and I was like, you know what, I need to step this up a bit. I can't be doing the stuff I'm doing, working with the brands I'm working with, and hold my head high. I need to kind of just mature. So that's what I did. I just grew up naturally. And I think a lot of people who are doing this now, some of them are still really young. Some of them come straight out of school and are lucky enough to do this. But some of them are getting a bit older. And I just kind of think there's a choice you make, whether you grow up more gracefully or you decide to keep aiming for an audience that were really interested in you a few years back, but maybe less so now, and trying to sort of, you know, stay younger.
There's some really interesting shorthand, I think, on various social media platforms. Like, there's almost different languages and different tones, and it can be very easy to sort of slip into a certain tone and know that that will automatically get a load of likes and a load of reaction from people that really identify with that tone, whereas really you might find that actually you're turning into something else and that your tone is changing.
Do you think this is bad? And I know I'm guilty of this myself. I would definitely say that I'm myself on social media. Obviously, for many years, I've represented a brand, so I have to be mindful of that. But I think I'm slightly different people on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. I don't think that means I'm insincere.
No, but I
definitely look at them as different channels that do different things.
Yeah, but you're also kind of constrained by the limits of that channel.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Twitter, you've got 140 characters, so you have to be quite witty and quite quick. You know, even if you're not, you've got to try.
I'll keep trying.
But I mean, Facebook, you can do kind of a bit more long form. You can write paragraphs if you want to. Instagram's picture-based. So you kind of have different aspects of you on display, but it's still very much you.
If you're my Facebook friend, then you know the really real me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It doesn't matter. I don't have to be a Joe Elvin employee as well as Joe Elvin.
Well, Twitter, there's a really interesting sort of subgenre of Twitter, which is anonymous Twitter, where people will often have locked, like, pseudonymous accounts for them to engage in a completely different way than they would do normally. I'm really interested, though, what are each of your, like, ultimate social media crimes? I am the one thing that really makes me go, oh, why do I know somebody who uses this, is the blushing emoji, which every time I see it makes me want to kill people with a spoon, like Alan Rickman. And
I actually use that sometimes.
Yeah, I use that. I
quickly retract everything I've ever said.
I think my favourite emoji is the crying laughing one.
Yeah.
Because I'm just such a happy person all the time. Everything makes me lull away. But I think my most hated thing is the humble brag. I absolutely hate...
But that's how I read the blushing emoji. It's just like, I'm so sweet and cute and lovely.
I mean, I don't know why I won this Oscar. That sort of, you know, it's like, I can't bear it. I actually can't bear it. That's sort of like trying to, you know, trying to fall over yourself to show everybody how modest you are, but desperate for everybody to know this amazing thing that's happened.
Yeah, I think that you're either humble or you're not.
Yeah.
Don't try to be somewhere in the middle.
Yes, and that's the thing. I'd rather someone just said, whoa, look at me, look what I did, rather than try and pretend that they thought it was nothing.
You just want people to be consistent, though, don't you? It's like what both of you are saying is that you're yourselves on your accounts. Whereas, like, my Instagram suffers a lot by the fact that, obviously, I, for now, work at Glamour, but I also love horse riding.
Right.
And also love food and also love my cat and all that sort of stuff. So there's no real consistency for the cat lovers or the diehard Glamourites or anything like that. But you but do just want to get that.
The complicated splendour of cat.
Irina, that's quickly, like, you writes know, on LinkedIn immediately.
Yeah. But I don't know if I think if I get to the point where on social media I'm thinking, oh God, you're a doofus, I actually can't engage, and I tend to sort of cull in that way.
I have muted a number of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get it in a way. You know, when I kind of made the conscious decision to do the stuff I'm doing now, I got much less likes and I get loads less views on my YouTube channel now. But for me, they're much more important views because they're the people that really genuinely care.
And you're not second guessing everything that you do. And
But there is a point, there was a point for me when I made that change a few years back where suddenly I decided to change my approach. And my views really plummeted. And at the time, I made my money from views. And it was kind of a popularity contest. And that's how you knew how successful you were. And suddenly it all dropped. And I was like, oh no, do I have to keep being sort of quirky and relatable?
I've got to get those squirrels back in.
Yeah, totally. Or can I do the stuff I want to do? And I think I kind of stuck to my guns purely because I had to. Because I didn't want to keep uploading the stuff I was uploading. Yeah. And, you know, walk around the street with my head held high.
Yeah.
Knowing that 5 minutes earlier, I was covered in butter. So,
tell me more about the squirrels. What happened there?
I can't really remember. It was a while ago now, but I seem to
have... any squirrels harmed in the making of your most liked YouTube video?
I seem to remember this was a video where it's called a dare video. Basically, you tweet in and people will dare you to do stuff. And one of the dares was to go and talk to squirrels. So I just went to Hyde Park and was just trying to chase some squirrels around.
I mean, I'm just impressed you managed to get close enough to a squirrel to say hello.
I mean, I'm very tall, so I'm kind of at eye level for a lot of them, you know?
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to seek that out. I must admit, I haven't seen
that one. Please don't watch it. Please don't watch it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Is it okay, Kat Brown, Jim Chapman, my very special guest today, to refuse to join the, I'm just so stressed and busy cult? Is it okay to like not buy into that? Because I think there is some sort of weird shame in not being so busy and stressed. You must be busy and stressed, right?
Yeah. Do you know what? I put this one on my list of things to talk about because as of last week, I've decided to change my tune because I'm so sick of saying it. Oh, God, I'm really busy and stressed, because who isn't? So I'm really
not
fortunate.
Me. I'm not that busy at the moment.
I'm really fortunate doing what I do for a job, and it's loads of fun. And yes, I do get really busy, and yes, it's quite stressful sometimes, but I had an epiphany last week where I'd actually just been really ill for a few days and was feeling pretty miserable. And then I started to feel better and thought to myself, why am I doing this to myself? I got ill because I'd overworked. And I thought, I should really enjoy the stuff I was doing. Part of the reason I got ill is I was in New York doing a really amazing job hanging out of a helicopter. And it was all
that
just,
would make me ill.
I mean, I had a really great time, but it was kind of like the nail in the coffin for me, because I had so much on at the time. Having to add another thing just kind of really got to me. And then the flight home, I was like, oh, I don't feel so good. But then it occurred to me when I felt better, like, oh my God, I was hanging out of a helicopter. That's so freaking cool. So I've decided now to just sort of embrace it all and stop saying I'm so busy and stressed, because, you know, it doesn't achieve anything by doing that. It makes you feel a bit shit about everything. And it makes everyone else think, oh God, aren't we all? I'd rather be that ray of sunshine going, hey, it is okay. We're busy, but busy's good.
I think it requires a huge amount of confidence to be able to go, nah, fine. Yeah, I'm just going to, you know, sit down for a bit this afternoon.
Yes, because I think I agree.
For a long time, particularly in your career, you have to be busy all the time, because you have to be seen to be hustling, to be deserving of what you're achieving, and to be constantly striving for something else, which is probably why everybody burns out by the time they're about 31 and just has to have a little bit of a sit down for about 3 months before going on to the next stage.
That is something I can't do. I can't sit and do nothing. That really makes me anxious, actually. If I feel like I'm not moving forward and doing something, even if I'm sitting there, I have to have like my laptop, or I have to have an activity I'm doing. But my new thing is at least not saying that I'm super busy, you know? Even if I am super busy, I want to just kind of embrace it and accept it.
Yeah,
I don't know what I think. I think that it's fine. I don't like it, that catch-all. There's always this competition. Who's the most busy? Mm-hmm. Who's the most stressed? And I find that in itself quite exhausting, and that you've almost like an insecurity, like you can't be that important if you're not really super busy and stressed. And actually, it can be quite the opposite.
Yeah. I also feel like stress is kind of a mindset, you know. If you tell yourself you're stressed, then you're stressed. But actually, if you compartmentalize and you realize that you can't possibly get everything done in a day, do it tomorrow, you know, and just sort of be positive and think how cool your job is and how lucky you are, and stop whinging about how stressed you are, because, you know, it's not going to achieve anything.
But what if you don't have a really cool job and you're busy and stressed? I mean, that's the thing. You do have, to most people's, like, the dream, right? And I'm sure there are days when it's a real slog.
Yeah.
But I guess, what would we advise people who really hate their job, but they're also really busy and stressed?
I would say do a little less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
if
your job's not
take
that,
the piss.
Yeah, if your job's not that, it's not that satisfying. There is more to life. So obviously you got to work to pay your bills. You know, I'm not pretending you can just afford to live on nothing. But don't let it stress you. Just do a little less, you know, because what's really important is the time you have with outside of work, if work is killing you.
Screw the man.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah. I think my husband actually gave me the most amazing bit of advice a while ago, because I can be very focused and too much in my own head about things a lot.
Me too.
And he was just like, do you know what? Probably nobody else notices this as much as you do. So just, you know, don't do it.
Do you know what's a really good piece of advice, actually? Just remembering that no one cares.
Yeah.
If you're that busy and stressed, so is everyone else. No one cares how busy and stressed you are. So stop saying it.
Yeah, everybody's just thinking about themselves and wanting, you know, in a good way, wanting to get their own shit done.
Yeah.
We should possibly sort of caveat that if you are feeling like really busy and stressed and like you can't cope, you must address that.
Oh God!
Do you know what
Totally, yeah.
I started seeing a therapist again a few weeks ago, and my Monday or Wednesday trips to dear Mrs. Tiggywinkle, as I call her, are absolutely fantastic, because they just, you know, they give you an opportunity just to, you know, offload and you know, find new coping mechanisms for things. And whether it is actually going to see a paid professional, which sounds very dodgy, now I've literally just said it, or having a chat with a mate, or, you know, chatting to your housemates, or, you know, sitting down playing FIFA and just having a chat without looking at each other.
Yeah, do you know
there are all these ways of doing it.
Totally right. I see someone maybe once every week and a half, every 2 weeks, and it was actually her that suggested to me to stop going, because I always, whenever I see her, I'm like, oh, I'm so busy and stressed. And she was like, stop this. Stop doing that to
but
yourself.
But also, Jim, I mean, the idea, I think I'm a huge advocate of therapy, but I think in your profession, God, another obligation to talk. It must be just.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be just sort of like zipping my mouth and like sitting in a dark room might be the answer for you.
Totally right. But it does, it actually really helps, because she doesn't care about the other stuff.
Right.
She cares about me as a human being. Yeah. So whereas I've got a lot of pressure on me from people going, you've got to do this by that day, and you have to have written this many words and taken that many photos and filmed that video. She's just like, you know what? Let's forget about all that. How are you? What's going on in your head?
Because it's such a particular, unique pressure for social media stars, isn't it?
This still exists.
There's such an expectation that you're on all the time. Where's that video? Why hasn't he posted?
Mm. Yeah.
That feeling that everybody knows you and can just run up to you in the street. So that must take its toll, sort of like having to be that guy all the time.
Yeah, totally. And the thing is, this job didn't really exist until my generation of people made it a thing. So there's a few of us in the UK, probably 10, 15 of us at sort of the top level who have found themselves with, you know, with this sort of influence, I suppose, and this audience who genuinely care. Now, I like my channel to be a happy place, whether it's like a daily vlog and I'm just documenting my day, or whether you're learning about what trousers are cool right now, or you see me baking, whatever. I like to think that people can get home from a day of work or school or whatever and just be like, I would hate to unload my problems on them. So I try to be quite happy on my channel. But that's not to say that I always feel happy. And in fact, if I feel a bit shit, I just won't bother filming that day, because it's no point putting yourself through it. But I've definitely, now I've got a bit older, I have got a much better work-life relationship. And I know now a bit when to kind of down tools for a few days.
It just comes from experience, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Here's a unique situation. I'm going to be quite stressed soon about not being busy.
You and me both, Jo. What do we do in these circumstances? We drink a lot of coffee, don't we? Coffee shops.
With maybe something, a bit of a snifter in. Yeah.
Roll on November. Yeah. Sober October feels very long right now.
And then we might see more of what we're going to talk about next.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I'm really excited to talk about this. I put this one on the list and I don't know what I think, but is it okay, Jim Chapman, Cat Brown, is it okay to believe in ghosts?
I think it is. Yeah, weirdly, with my outlook on life, I shouldn't, because I'm quite a scientist. I analyse things and I overthink, and I've always thought that when you go, you go, and worms eat you or you get cremated or whatever and that's it. You know,
well, that's no fun.
You've had your time. But actually, I've had a few experiences where I feel like there's more.
I'm so jealous. See, I've no reason to believe in ghosts. Mm. I've never seen one, never had anything like an even half spooky experience, but I just want them to be true. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I think there is a great call to say that in certain areas of the world they are true, because ultimately it's people's beliefs and people's thoughts that makes the idea of ghosts either attractive or credible or ultimately believed in. So, for example, in Japan, you know, lots of people believe in ghosts and it's a real just accepted thing that they are part of the structure. Whereas as Britain, for example, becomes increasingly secular, there is less of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I've got a very overactive imagination, and rather than thinking of like the gorgeous sort of like white sheeted traditional ghost idea, there are places that you go to where you do feel a bit like, oh, I should probably leave now. It feels like there are other people that would like to be here more than me. But again, never seen anything, never had that. But it's just that thing at the back of your mind.
I can share a story with you.
Please. I love a ghost story.
So where my first ever house where I grew up in is in a little hamlet called Wilby. And there was like four houses there and a horse on this. You'd love it, actually, Kat.
This sounds great.
There's a horse on this little green. And so the house was built before my time. From what I've heard, my family made that house. It was like there's one sort of part of the house that's already there, an existing structure, and the rest of the house was made on it. And there was this one room which actually happened to be the old part of the house that no one went in, not my mum, no one. And the adjoining bathroom was also just had this awful feeling about it. And I remember always walking in there, we'd keep basically random stuff in there. It's a spare room, but no one stayed in. But I remember often going in there to get something, and I would try to swing the door open, run in, get what I needed, and run back out again before the door closed on me, because I was terrified I'd never get back out. And the minute you'd walk in there, I'm getting a chill now thinking about it. The minute you walk in there, you got this awful feeling. Now, one time we had these guests over, and the guests didn't want to stay in that room because they had a weird feeling about it too. So my mum put my twin brother and I in there thinking, they're kids, they won't know, it's totally fine.
But how old were you?
Well, this is before it all went south with my dad and everything. So I would have been 6, maybe.
Right, okay. And already nobody had said, oh, that room's haunted, but you just had a weird feeling.
Just had a weird, and my twin brother too. And I remember laying there in bed, didn't sleep a wink that night. We curled up next to each other, me and my brother. And I remember feeling someone sit on the end of the bed. And at that point, we both went, oh my God. And we just froze, said nothing. And I could hear people like outside the window knocking on the glass and stuff. And it was honestly so bloody scary that we were up all night. And in the morning, I spoke to my mum, I was like, I'm not staying in there again. That was awful. She later confessed to me, not then, because also I was too young to really understand it, she later confessed to me that she would never go in there either, because exactly the same thing happened to her.
Oh, my God.
Someone just came and sat on the end of the bed, same thing to her, and that's why we ended up sleeping in there, because the adults didn't want to.
Did you? Yeah, I mean, you know, the kids, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Totally chilled.
Did you ever get that investigated, or?
No, I mean, I don't think so. Maybe.
Who do you ask?
Yeah, see, my sister.
The priest. Have you not seen a horror film in your life? What are you on about? Come on.
One of my sisters, so Nick, who is my big little sister.
Hello, Nick. She's
the middle
one. We love you, Nick.
Yeah, she's great. She's kind of very spiritual, and she believes that sort of stuff. So if anyone was going to, it would have been her. But I don't think we ever did. I think we moved out of the house afterwards. But yeah, there are just little things like that. Really, kind of that is to me evidence.
A friend of mine was lying in bed with her husband, and she said to him, "Will you stop breathing like that?" And he said, "I thought it was you."
Oh.
And so, and they were both sort of like hearing this. And turned on the light and there was nothing there.
At my 10th birthday party, I had a sleepover, and me and all my girlfriends were all very, very overexcited because it was like, ooh, 9 o'clock and we were still up or whatever. And we were absolutely cut short by this tapping at the window. And everybody screamed, obviously. And really meanly, seeing as it was my birthday, I was made to go to the window and open the curtains. But anyway, so we opened it and there was nothing there. So we were like, God, well, you know, it's dark outside and there's just a lot of country there. So let's just shut it, because that's actually more frightening, because something might run out. Anyway, and it happened again twice. And each time it was just awful. But the third time I was much faster, and I opened it and it was a fucking Lego man on a piece of string, because my brother had dropped it from his bedroom window. And I went upstairs and beat 7 shades of crap out of him.
Yeah.
Creepy as hell.
That was amazing.
I mean,
that's
the only response.
but more seriously, though, my in-laws live in a beautiful house in Oxfordshire. And their dining room, every time I go in there, I say hello to something and I hope you're well. I've no idea what to or something, but it just feels like something I have to do.
It's like that
amazing. I totally get that.
In no other room. It's just, you know, as a courtesy.
Like that amazing Robert the Doll story.
Have you ever seen this story?
Oh my gosh, there's a film coming out. There's a documentary. There's in Key West, Florida, behind glass, there's a 19th century little toy sailor doll about the same size as a little boy.
Right.
And it's a very hugely documented case of a charmed or possessed doll. And even the museum curators apparently advise that you introduce yourself to the doll if you go and visit it, and reassure the doll that you're not there to mock it, because people who have come in to mock the doll, or the doll thinks is mocking them, have meet terrible ends.
No.
Or have terrible things happen. And actually, there's also a wall of apologies to Robert the Doll, because that if you write Robert the Doll a letter to say you're sorry for this, you know, sort of like ridiculing him, then he will lift
that
the curse.
Is awful.
And it is the creepiest ass doll you have ever seen in your life. Google it. I'm telling you, you won't sleep tonight.
I don't want to Google him. Can I, on a slightly different note, on a friendly ghost note, since my stepdad passed away in February, weirdly, I have felt him.
But that's lovely.
Yeah, and it's lovely. It doesn't feel terrifying, but like sometimes I'll be driving or something, or I'll be totally on my own, and I just get like a little feeling, like a familiar feeling. You know how you just, when you're with someone, you just kind of feel their energy. Just get a little feeling. And my mum's the same. She's, and Weirdly, I'm not that spiritual, but I still kind of get that.
And who are we to deny that if that is useful yeah. and of comfort? And
totally.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's wonderful.
Yeah,
my, and I'm my sorry wife for your
I,
loss.
Yeah, thank you. My wife and I both dreamt about him the other night as well. And I just sort of thought, well, maybe he visited. I don't know. Yeah. But it's weird that we both dreamt of him the same night. Because, yeah. you know, I think about him a lot. And I've got pictures of him in my house. And I often just sort of look at them and, you know, just kind of give him a little wink or something.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting that every once in a while you just sort of have a little familiar feeling that someone's around. It's really nice.
Well, and that makes... I want to believe that.
Mm, I do.
That's... Yeah, I don't want to believe that my daughter used to have a visitor that she called the funny nana.
Oh, no.
The funny nana came to see me last night. I don't like that.
It's like when... you know when babies, if you've got a baby or you're babysitting or something, or you've got a dog or a cat and they look past you.
Oh, it's hideous.
Over your shoulder and just stare at something.
Yes.
like oh
yeah,
I hate that.
I don't like that at all.
Luckily my dog's stupid and she doesn't do any of that stuff. She just only looks at me or she's asleep.
Oh, mine does. My cat, she basically
I think cats
just suddenly
are
looks like
for
a,
that.
She just sits there like an owl with headlamps gazing at a bit on the wall and I'm yeah. just like, oh, please be as
but
wider.
I think cats are kind of eternally spooky, aren't they? Because, you know, since the Egyptian times, they've been sort of that link to the afterlife. So if anyone's going to get it, if anyone's going to see that
oh,
stuff,
bless
cats.
Her, Ambridge is far too stupid to be a conduit to anything about right.
But
her
I hate the way their eyes go when it's really sunny.
Well, they kind of, when they go, like, sort
really
of reflective.
Really freaks me
and,
out.
Yeah. I mean, actually, yeah. I was just trying to think, and I was just like, I they don't go think like, it you know, has been really sunny in Streatham.
But the iris goes like a little thin
oh,
slit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's when she was sitting, I think, because I was feeling a bit sorry for myself last night, and she just came and sat on my chest and stared at me for 15 solid minutes. So, and actually, it was really nice.
You
like,
will
put
cheer
down
up.
My phone.
You will
she
cheer
will
up.
Cheer up. And then, so we had a cuddle for about 15 minutes, and then after that, she was just like, and then turned around and just shoved her bum in my face and went to sleep. And she was just like, and my work here is done.
That's the best you get with cats, though, isn't it?
Exactly. You should be jolly well grateful for that. Jim Chapman, it's been an absolute delight having
you. Thank
you
for having me.
Come back to the pod cupboard for as long as it shall exist. Any time you like. Go and get Jim Chapman's book, 147 Things. It is a journey of enlightenment.
I talk about ghosts in it, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking of ghosts, I should have plugged it a bit harder, but hey, buy it anyway. It's really good.
You know, this is. I'll do the work for you. I'll do the heavy lifting. But yes, thanks a lot. Thank you, Jim Chapman and Kat Brown.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.